give you the word, and I'm believing God is wanting to open up our spiritual eyes, open up our eyes to what He has for us. Praise the Lord. So if you're writing a title down today, you can write down Interceding for the Nations, Part 3. Are you ready to hear the word? I'm ready to give that to you. And you know, the prayers of intercession, now think about this, and supplication are, of course, prayers for others. You heard what I said, praying for others. A lot of times we pray for ourselves, which is good, but we also need to be praying for other people. A lot of people, other people need it. I can tell you, I need prayer. So be praying. So you understand what I'm saying, that there's people out there that need prayer, and we need to be praying for those people. And, you know, and it's that prayer of intercession and supplication are, you know, of course, prayers for others. We need to be praying for others because it's just not about me. It's about the people out there, that people out there that need Jesus. And you know who they are. And, you know, an example, an intercessory prayer is found. I want you, it can be found right here in Genesis 18, where we see Abraham's intercession for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody know the story? If you don't know the story, write that chapter, that chapter down in Genesis 18. And we're going to start at verse 20. But you can read on after 27 because it tells you a little bit more what happened. But we're going to start right here in Genesis 18, verse 20. And it says, "And the Lord said, and the Lord said, and the Lord said." What's that telling me? It don't say Pastor Randy said. It says, "The Lord said." Are you getting, you got this? "The Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because there is sin in every is very grave." Everybody remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Okay. Let's go to the next verse, in verse 21. And it says, "I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know." Verse 22. "Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord." Verse 23. And he says, "And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked?" That's a question. Verse 24. "Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it?" This is Abraham talking to God now. All right, let's go to the next verse, 25. And it says, "Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right?" This is Abraham talking to God now. Let's go to the next verse, 26. He says, "So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes." I will spare them. We have a loving God, right? He's trying to spare Sodom. All right, let's go to the next verse, in verse 27. "Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord." Notice Abraham. He humbled himself before the Lord, referring to himself but dust and ashes. This stops. We're going to stop the scripture right here where he's talking about at least 50 righteous people. We know if you read this scripture, you know it don't stop at 50. He goes all the way down to 10. If you find just 10. But in Sodom, everybody knows about Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Men with men, girls with girls, all the stuff that was going on. It was a horrible place to be in. And God said he's going to destroy that. That's not what God promised. That's not God. That is rebelling against God. Because you just have to read the rest of this story about what it tells, what God and Abraham and Lot, remember Lot? Everybody talks about him, and he had to escape because the men were trying to rape him. You see what I'm saying? It was a city where God was trying, just 10 righteous down to the end. But he couldn't find any. And what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Destroyed. Because people turned against God. What you mean turning? Men and men, and boys, girl and girls, is not God's plan. God will destroy that plan. A loving God, he gives us a chance. But what's that mean? That means that we need to be in prayer for those people. God wants to, he's just looking for 10. Just give me 10 righteous in Sodom and Gomorrah. Give me 10. Just give me 10. It's up to us to be praying for those people that are out there. And it's good for us to go into the presence of God. You know, I don't know if you've ever done this, but get on your face before the Lord. We've done it right here before during our prayer times and stuff. We have laid here on the floor before God, just seeking God's face. And you know, in many places in the Bible, you hear about people prostrate, laying on the floor before God, giving it all to God. Nothing is going to interfere with my prayer to God. Me praying to God. And you know, we need to lay our faces down upon just flat out and just pray to God. And you know, when you see like Sodom and Gomorrah, you may have a Sodom and Gomorrah in your life that needs to be prayed for, to be prayed. And just 10 righteous people, I'll save that city. Just 10. And you heard what we said at the beginning, started out with 50. But God still loved them and wanted them to change. Abraham was praying, right? You know, the Bible tells us to humble ourselves. Humble ourselves, to submit ourselves to God. You know, somebody said, well, I don't know how to do that. Well, what does God's Word say? Well, let's look at God's Word. He tells us in James 4, verse 8. He tells us how to do that. Humble ourselves before God. And in James 4, 8, he tells us, come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wow. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for the loyalty is divided between God and the world. Did you hear what I just said? For your loyalty is divided between what? God and the world. What do we put before God? You see what I'm saying? Where's our loyalty? You know, God is telling us to wash our hands, you sinners. He wants us, that's what he wants us to do right here before him. You know, submit ourselves to God. God is who we're supposed to be submitting to. I don't want Bro Bridge to turn into Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't want Cecilia. I don't want Henderson. I don't want Butte La Rose. I don't want whoever, Karen Crow. I don't want these towns to turn into a Sodom and Gomorrah. And we keep saying, these is our last days, right? Can you imagine? God's wanting us to get right before him. He wants us to be praying for these communities. He wants us to be praying for the people. He wants us to be praying for that and to get ourselves right before God. As he said, wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. What's that mean? Get rid of all that junk that's in there that don't need to be there, that's keeping you away from God. Because, you know, when you do something and you get away from God, it's hard to get back to God because we have those guilty feelings in our spirit, in our heart. We have those guilty things. Oh, I can't go back to church because I did this. I can guarantee you one thing, God will accept you quicker than you can imagine. God is right there waiting on the people that say, well, I messed up. I can't get back in church. I did something wrong. Oh, you just don't know what I did. I can't bear to see those people that I hurt in that church because they depended on me to do and do this and do that. And I just hurt their feelings. Well, you know, you may have hurt their feelings, but God still loves you. God wants to bring you back. He wants to forgive you of all those things that you've done in the past. It's gone. Because you want to be those at least 10. You understand what I'm saying? Because God loves us and he wants us to get rid of all this stuff. That stuff that's in our minds that we think about way back and this kind of stuff we did. Man, you just don't know. How can God love me? Because I did this 40 years ago. If you've asked God to forgive you, those 40 years are gone. Boom. God loves us. And we got to realize that he loves us and wants to get rid of all that stuff that's in us. Because why? We can't operate, like it says, we can't come close to God because the devil has a rubber band wrapped around us. And every time we go to God, he wants to pull back on that rubber band. You see what I'm saying? We want to get close to God, but we got all that trash behind us when the devil's got that big old rubber band and keeping us, springing us back to him, to the devil. And we got to cut that loose. How do we cut it loose? You get a knife, cut the rubber band. I'm using it as an example, but you got to cut those things loose from behind you and go forward with the things that God is telling you. Because, I mean, it's a lot of things that go on in people's lives. You just wouldn't believe the things that are happening in people's lives now. Why? Because the devil knows it's getting close to that time. And he's going to be more active than you can imagine. And if all he's got to do is tilt you one way, he's got you. You're going to fall off in there. But it says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. You see what I'm saying? Get closer to God in all your situations going on in your life. Oh, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Yeah, you do. Come close to God. That's simple to remember. Just get closer to God. Because I don't know about you, when I'm out, if I can remember being outside, we'd have a fire outside, and you'd be over here kind of in the almost dark, and you're getting kind of cold. What you going to do? Come close to that fire. You're going to get warm, right? And every time you start moving away, you say, oh, no, I'm going to stay right here because this is nice and warm. Now, I'm not talking about the temperature out there right now, but I'm talking when it gets down into the 30s and upper 20s, that fire sure feels good. Same thing with God. Come close to God, and that's going to feel so good. Hallelujah. But, you know, I've heard people pray, and I've even probably prayed it myself over the years. But they would pray, Lord, make me humble. Make me humble. But you know, that's not going to happen. God's not going to answer that prayer. You know that? He tells you to humble yourself. Everybody wants to get on that God train, you know. Oh, I'm trusting in God. I'm just going to sit back here and I'm going to eat all these Lay's potato chips. I'm going to sit back and enjoy and just wait on God. You're going to wait a while. Them tater chips are going to get stale. I can tell you that. But you know, God tells us to humble yourself. And when Israel dedicated Solomon's temple, God promised he would do certain things, right? Even if they were still in sin. Woo! That's a great, awesome God. And when they returned to God and what? Humbled themselves. And you know, what's that mean? He tells us that we need to, he would hear from them when they humble themselves and answer them, right? He will answer them and what? Restore them. I don't know about you. Who needs restoring? Who needs some restoring in their life? Because whatever we've done before and the thoughts that we're thinking about, no, we need to get rid of them thoughts. Have the mind of Christ. Get rid of all of that other thing. Well, that's the way we did it when I was 20 years old, well, was it coming close to God? Were you humbling yourself before God? Were you doing the things of God? And, you know, we can all answer that separately in our lives. You know, but when Israel was dedicated, that temple, they even, like I said, God wanted to, he gave them a whole, he promised them a bunch of things, even with them in sin. That sounds kind of like what's going on in our neighborhoods, right? Even in sin, God is right there. He's ready for us to humble ourselves, to come before him, and just lay it all out before him. And you know, what's he going to do? Then he will answer, and what? And restore back to you. I can remember, you know, there used to be a song a long time ago talking about, you know, what, you know, we're going to take back what the devil stole. You know, after I really got into that and really prayed about that song, I said, you know, I don't want that stuff. I want the new stuff that God has. Because what the devil stole, it's old. It's gone. It's old antique stuff. It's probably rusty. It probably don't work half the time. You know, if it's a rifle or whatever, you stick your bullet in it and shoot it, it just don't do nothing. Because why? The firing pin is all rusty and fell out. I want the new stuff. We don't, you know, sure, we're going to take back the territory. But I'm talking about those old things that God, that we've had before that the devil taken away from me. Oh, no, he can have that because God's got something better for me. Hallelujah, because I'm his child of God. We get the best. We don't get that secondhand stuff from the devil. I don't want anything the devil done took. He can have it. He can burn it up, whatever he wants, take it down to hell and just burn it up. Because I don't want it again. I'm not taking back what the devil stole. I'm taking back what God has for me. And I'm going to put a fence around it. I'm going to put some charges around it. And if the devil tries to take it from me, he's got another thing coming. Praise the Lord. But you know, God loves us. God wants to bring all us into humble ourselves before him. And he's going to restore. You know, somebody said different things. What can he restore? Well, I don't know about you, but I'd like to have a lot more happiness. I would like to have a lot more of this. I'd like to have a lot more of that. Why is that? He's going to restore that. I got to keep myself humble before him, just like you have to keep yourself humble before him. And you will get those things. And we have to end up changing our mind thinking. Why? We got to have the mind of Christ. And, you know, somebody says, well, at a certain age, you start kind of losing some remembrance and stuff like that. Oh, maybe so, but God says right here, he'll restore it. And, you know, I catch myself a lot of times. I'll see something, I say, yeah, that's coming back. I can remember all that kind of stuff. Sure, that may have faded away for a little bit, but God says he will restore it when I humble myself before him. My mind is clear. You know, I was listening to somebody yesterday talk about that, where they take a couple drops of this kind of stuff that makes their mind strong. Well, that's true. It could. But I tell you what, I'm trusting in the Lord, because the Lord says, I will restore. I will enter them and restore them. I don't know about you, but I enjoy it when God tells me something that I thought I might have forgotten and I can remember it. Somebody says something about something and I can remember it. I said, whoo. See, that's a false, but I ain't losing my mind for things like that. Because why? I try to keep my mind active. I try to keep my mind to, well, you know, somebody says, well, you know all that algebra stuff? No, I know what 2 plus 2 equals 4. 4 plus 4 equals 8. I keep my mind active, and I don't care about all them X's and Y's. And hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you look in 2 Chronicles? 2 Chronicles 7:14. Praise the Lord. But you know, talking about God will answer and restore. And this good, awesome scripture right here. And he says, if my people who call by my name will humble themselves. There's that word humble again. Themselves and pray and seek my face. Let's go back again up to the top of that. He says, call by my name and will humble themselves and pray. There we go. Mark that one down. And pray and seek my face. Seek God's face. Seek God's face. Pray and seek God's face. You catching what I'm saying? Seek God's face. And turn from their wicked ways. And turn from their wicked ways. you know, there's a few little things here we have to do. He says, what? Humble themselves, pray, and seek my face, and what? And turn from their wicked ways. We got to turn away from all that. We got to turn away from what we thought was good, but we find out God ain't blessing me like he's supposed to according to his word. And, you know, I need to repent. Because why? Because I hadn't turned from my wicked ways. I'm still doing my old wicked things. And so what you do? You're a wicked Christian. Because if you're born again, what you doing? You're being wicked, right? And he says, turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, wow, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Whew, that's a mouthful right there, that one scripture. Matter of fact, I think we got these scriptures everywhere that I keep, because I want to keep myself humble before him. And he's not going to humble you. I've said it before. He may permit some things to happen that will humiliate you. Hallelujah. But he's not going to humble you. You must humble yourself. Get before God. I mean, I'd have never thought one time. I remember praying. I just felt the tugging in my spirit just to lay on this floor and just pray and ask the Lord. Just pray to the Lord. For any kind, if I needed forgiveness in my life or if I needed anything in my life, and it was me and God. And I don't know who else was in here, but they were praying, and I just zoned out of them, and I was zoned into heaven. And I was speaking strictly to heaven. And I believe, and God answered some prayers for that time. Why? Because I laid before the Lord, and I humbled myself. I never would have ever thought that I would lay on the floor and pray. But I did. And I've humbled myself again, not believing in certain things in the church, such as I was in a church in Baton Rouge, and the spirit of laughter went across that whole congregation of about 8,000 people. I ain't, that's a bunch of bull. That's got to be the devil. Ain't nobody laugh like that. And you know, and finally, I don't know what it was. Maybe I was thinking this in my mind. And all of a sudden, the pastor calls me. He says, I just feel you need to come up here and let me pray for you. I didn't get halfway down the aisle. And something hit me. And I started laughing. And I had them I don't know if you call them snot laughs. I mean, it caught me and I was rolling. And I said, I was trying to fight it. But the Spirit of God come upon me right then, and I mean, I've shut my mouth, I humbled myself. If God moves, God's going to move. If it's laughter, he laughed. If you get laid out in the Spirit, you know, whatever it is, you start dancing, you start jumping, you start running. I don't care what it is. I believe if it's the Spirit of God, you'll know that it's the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God, and I tell you what, I've never felt so happy in my life. I said, that's what I'm talking about. I didn't have all these boundaries of denominations. You know, you're not supposed to do that in church. No, not in this church. You don't stand up. You don't clap. You don't do that. You don't jump. You don't run. You don't speak in tongues. No, you don't. Oh, that's where it was. But I don't know. God brought me out of that bondage, and I'm free now. If I want to jump, I'll jump. If I want to clap, I'll clap. If I want to sing out of key, I sing out of key, or just sing. Praise the Lord. But I sing. I'm not giving the devil any room to take my place, to come in and try to keep me from worshiping an almighty God. Why? Because I'm free. I'm a free bird. I can worship like I want in the house of God. I can raise my hands. I can clap. I can do that all. Because why? I am humbling myself before God. And he, you know, and as I said, he may permit some things if I'm not humbling myself before God. But he's not going to humble me. You must humble yourself. And we know, we have to understand, when we do humble ourselves, when we come close to God, what's he do? He comes close to us. I don't know about you, but I want God close to me. You know, I mean, it's hard to explain if you've never had God close to you. You know, have you ever kind of had a good bud? Just a real good bud? Come here, Ron. Let me show you what a good bud. A bud. A buddy. That's a little redneck talk, for short for buddy. See, it's like having a buddy. You rocking right here. Hey, buddy. You know, when we close, look around. When I'm close to him, where's he at? He's close to me. And you know, it's having a buddy. And we're going to have some a duck jambalaya. We're going to have something duck whenever we get to the limit. But you understand what I'm saying? Well, hey, bud. That's what it's all about. And that's the way we need to be like with God. You know, and just say, you know, here I am, God. All right, start walking that way. Now look, I'm right here with him. All right, God, let's turn this way. God wants to go this way. I'm going with him. Hey, God, you think you can make it up here? Oh, yeah, I knew you could. Now look, let's go on over this way. Look, where am I at? I'm right here with God, right? No, I'm walking right along with him. Where I come close to him, he comes close to me. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. But that's what it's all about, is having. Yeah, give him a hand. But that's what it is. When we come close to God, he comes close to us. And we have to humble ourselves, just like probably Ron had to do, humble himself, because he's not that big in front of all these people. Are you? Not really. Next time we may have him ride his Harley through here, you know. Say, you can't ride a Harley in church. Why not? I saw Pastor Hagin ride his big Harley upon the platform at Rhema for a men's meeting. I mean, you know how Harley sounds in this big dome church. And he rode that Harley up on top of it on that stage, on that platform. No. I got to get a ramp first. No wheelies. But you understand what I'm saying? We come close to God, and he comes close to us. And we need to understand that. Humble ourselves before God. Be praying for others. As we began to say, we prayed for leaders. We started out. But now we're praying for others. And you know, that makes everything awesome. Because why? We're being like Abraham with Sodom and Gomorrah. He did everything he could to save that one little town. Because he had his what? Nephew in there? Lot. And they were running wild. Like I said, there was men running with men. And they even told them in there, bring those men out because we want to have sex with them. The men were saying that. You understand what I'm saying? And you look back and you say, man, that was a rough time then. Look at the world right now. Look at the world right now. So the best thing to do is pray for them. And what did Abraham did? He left out amongst them. And they got his son to go out, remember? I mean, his nephew to get out of town. They had to escape out of town because, why? Those men were hungry for Lot. You see? Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? And his wife almost made it. She's the one with the pillar of salt. She looked back. When God tells us to get out of that situation, don't look back. Don't look back. Now, I ain't saying you turn into a pillar of salt, but I'm just saying it won't be good. We start messing around with what God told us to get away from. Praise the Lord. Did you get anything out of that today? Hallelujah. Well, we praise the Lord today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.